God, pour out your blessing on these gifts given today. May they be used wisely and with strength for your purpose, so that we may be your hands and feet in this broken and hurting world. Amen.
Morning. A reading from the Gospel of Luke. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, while he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." Word of God, words of life.
This morning we're continuing our sermon series, Short Stories by Jesus, following the book of that name by Dr. Amy Jill Levine, a professor of New Testament and Jewish studies at various universities across America. Her book challenges the way we read and interpret the parables and stories of Jesus, helping us to consider the context in which they were written and to interpret that into our own context in today's world. So, as most of you know, us Brits are very proud of our reputation for being overly polite. Manners are instilled in us at a very early age. We queue politely, if a little obsessively, and when someone walks into us in the street, we apologize to them. As I've traveled and made my home in different countries, I've noticed the differences between the accepted norms of manners within the diverse cultures I've lived. And this is particularly true when thinking about how and when we say thank you. In Thailand, I was working as an English language teacher in a government-run school. And as such, I had to wear a uniform, and so was instantly recognizable wherever I went. Teachers there are held in high regard, and students and families alike are taught to make visible signs of respect when passing in the street. Oftentimes, I would be in the mall or a restaurant or on the bus, and children and adults alike would be bowing to me in respect, hands clasped together as though in prayer. I found this very disconcerting at first, especially as a shy and uptight Brit. And then when I got here to the US, I found another difference which gave me pause. For any of us either side of the pond, holding doors open for people is simply a given, as is thanking those who do the same for us. So imagine then my surprise when the first person I thanked for allowing me through a door responded with, "Uh-huh." This happened again and again, and sharing it with another British friend here, I found that she had the same reaction. For us, it was too dismissive a response, a no effort required automatic answer, which quite frankly conveyed a less than adequate thank you for the act of service that had been performed for them. And yes, I know this makes it more about me than about doing something for others, but that's a different message for another day. And of course, now I've been here as long as I have, I'm the first person to respond with, aha, every time I'm thanked. Saying and receiving thanks is important to us. This giving and receiving develops relationships, allows interaction, and shows respect for the other. And this is what today's parable is all about. Thanking God and praising God for all we have, for the amazing blessings poured out on us, for the incredible gift of creation, for the work of the Spirit, the life and example of Jesus, and the incredible, immeasurable gift of salvation through Christ. The story of the 10 lepers is one which challenges our perceptions of cause and effect. It makes us think about why we worship, why we pray, and the very essence of our relationship with God. Do we praise because then God will give us more? Are our prayers a shopping list for things to make our lives better, easier, or more comfortable? Or are we praying in deep gratitude for all we have and for God's presence in our lives? Let's look at what happened in the parable. It's a story of healing and Jesus working with those who were excluded from society at that time. Nothing new, right? But what is different here is that the story is not about the healing. This act of Jesus is almost a sideline to the tale of the leper who returned. Jesus is heading to Jerusalem on the path which takes him between Samaria and Galilee. And there were foreigners in this land, people who were of a different faith to them, and people who were already considered outcasts, less than others. And 10 lepers come up to Jesus. That's a lot of people. 10 people approaching Jesus, showing their faith and belief in him, but 10 outcasts, cast out because of their illness, and some cast out because of their faith or because of where they lived. And Jesus responds by telling them to go and show themselves to the priest. Even the actual act of healing is not recorded in this story. 9 of them do just as Jesus has told them, and we never get to hear what happens to them. But one returns, the despised foreigner. He comes back and simply bows down at Jesus' feet to worship and to give thanks. And Jesus responds with the following words. Get up and go. Your faith has made you well. And in that phrase, we learn that this 10th leper, this Samaritan, has been healed in a different way to the other 9. The Samaritan has been healed beyond just physically. He has a faith which made him well. He had been made well in a different way to the other 9. He is now well holistically, physically, and psychologically, while the other 9 have rushed off to the priests without a single thought about Jesus and all he just did for them by curing their physical ailment, almost as if they had a sense of entitlement regarding being healed in this way. But for this 10th man, it's an entirely different thing. This man was grateful. This man understood what had happened to him on a completely different level than the others did. And this man turned back, laid himself on the ground at Jesus' feet, and gave thanks. This parable is teaching us about the nature of faith. It calls to mind the lesson of the mustard seed, which Rev. Kathy spoke about last week, and reminds us of the difference between having a faith and living out a faith, living a life of gratefulness, the kind of faith which makes this Samaritan man holy and deeply well. Kimberly Long in Feasting on the Gospels suggests that faith and gratitude are two words for the same thing. To practice gratitude is to practice faith. She goes on to clarify, if faith is not something we have, but something we do, something we live, then in living, we express our complete trust in God. How then can we not practice gratitude when we know that God, the giver of all good gifts, holds all of life in providential hands? This parable follows some words of caution we hear at the beginning of the chapter when we are warned that living out a Christian life is not always easy, and we will not always feel that we are adequately equipped to navigate this life. We are reminded that by living out our lives in a thankful way with gratitude, we are gifted with as much faith as we need. If we offer up prayers and praises of thanks, then these too form part of our own healing. The grateful Samaritan leper is made truly whole through his act of gratitude, his recovery and wellness made complete through his own act of gratefulness. And this thanking is available to each and every one of us. We can offer thanks for a good day, a successful outcome to a work project, for our lives, for our family, our church, for God's companionship as we walked a difficult path. When we come to worship in gratefulness, it reframes our expectations of that time and opens ourselves up to an entirely different experience. I have three goddaughters, all sisters who are grown up now and with families of their own, but I got to spend a lot of time with them when they were children. They had their own bedroom at my house, we went on vacations together, and at one point, one of them even thought that everybody had a mummy, a daddy, and a niecey as part of their family. One Christmas, I had saved hard and got them a joint present, and now I'm gonna show my age because it was a Nintendo 64 gaming system, which they have been desperate to have. With much excitement, they unwrapped the gift altogether, tearing excitedly at the wrapping paper. And once they realized what they had, two of the three of them threw themselves into my lap and burst into tears. These were happy tears because they were so thrilled and so overwhelmed with being given a gift that they weren't expecting, and they had no other way to show it than by expressing these happy tears. And this is the beauty of this parable for me. The Samaritan simply cannot stop himself from giving thanks. Rather than rushing off with others to reclaim his life, he is compelled to simply lay at Jesus' feet and say thank you, showing a faith which cannot remain silent in response to God and what Jesus has done for him in his life. His faith and his response to it are almost childlike, taking over all he does at that moment. And this response of gratitude is so much more meaningful when you understand the realities of this man's life. He was a foreigner, an outsider on the edges of society, and even his healing by Jesus would do nothing to change his status. He would remain an outsider, remain on the margins, never being truly and fully accepted by those he lived among. Life for him, like so many, rejected by culture for not meeting the normal standards, was one where his soul was gradually being eroded by the rejection and alienation. So for him, it wasn't an improvement in his circumstances which was gifted to him. It was quite simply a miracle from God. And because of this, one from which he could not stop himself giving thanks and praise. As is the case so often, his existence on the margins of society allowed him to see things from a different perspective to those who were in the center or majority of the cultural structures. The author and theologian C.S. Lewis, when describing his coming to faith as a Christian, noted, "I noticed how the humblest and at the same time the most balanced minds praised most, while the cranks, misfits, and the malcontents praised least. Praise always seems to be in a health made audible. Last January, we read together Diana Butler Bass's book, Gratitude. And as we followed that sermon series, we heard many times the overriding theme that when we practice gratitude in all we do, for all we have, our faith is so much stronger, clearer, flowing from and within all we do. And at Bishop's Convocation this year, we were lucky enough to welcome Diana as the guest speaker. As she laid the groundwork for her later presentations on the structure of organized religion and ways to rethink and reframe what we do going forward, she stressed that we need to have grounded lives so we are able to live in gratitude, because theologically, gratitude emerges from an abiding sense of trust in God's presence, love, and abundance. If we are able to then take this gratitude and apply it to the past, we are able to reflect and reframe our experiences with more positive outcomes. We find our own strength when we are able to reframe the injustices of our past by regarding them in this different light, and are able to find ourselves in this experience. Diana references the work of Dr. Emmons of UC Davis, whose research indicates that grateful people who have been able to apply this gratitude to their past experiences are more likely to feel compassion for the future. Feeling gratitude instead of nostalgia allows us to celebrate the present and feel hope for the future, blocks toxic emotions, and increases our sense of self-worth as well as our social ties. Reflected in this story of the Samaritan leper, Diana shared that those communities which have suffered oppression understand gratitude far better than those who have not. The civil rights movement reflected this because it touched people with something so deeply that they all attached to it and wanted to be connected to it. Her question to us was, isn't that what church should be? Diana starts out each day with a gratitude body prayer. I've tried it, and it's a wonderful way to frame yourself and your attitude for the day. So guess what? We're all going to try it together now. Stand up and make sure you have a little space around you. And we're going to start with our arms open out wide and our palms lifted upward as we signal our appreciation for the abundance of all we have around us. Now bring your hands across your heart in awareness of how deeply loved you are. Next, bring your hands together in the sign of a prayer as you appreciate those gifts of love and abundance. And finally, bow in acknowledgement of the source of these great things. Try it once more. Hands outstretched for abundance. Hands across the heart for awareness. Hands clasped in prayer for appreciation. And a small bow in acknowledgement. Go ahead and sit down. The most basic of Christian responses to all God does and is for us is gratitude. In planning our worship services, the first hymn typically is one of praise, used to frame the service in a tone of thanksgiving for all we have and are in Christ. There's a plethora of hymns in the hymnal under this heading of praise and thanksgiving. So many writers led to produce works which speak of gratitude we have for life, the world, our communities, our families, and the incredible love God has for us through Jesus Christ, and the gift that brings us of hope, wellness, and wholeness. None of that is expressed better to me than the words of our doxology, "Praise God from whom all blessings flow." We gather here each week to give thanksgiving and praise, and it is while doing this we have the opportunity to cry out to God, to receive mercy, to be transformed, both privately and corporately. The least likely character, the tenth leper, has shown us through his expression of faith in worshipful gratitude how to go about expressing ours and by doing so, leads us to follow in his way, helping us, like him, to find peace and well-being, the ever-present gifts which can be ours as we too offer our thanks to God. As we come to a close in our worship this morning, let's remember that gratitude body prayer and try starting out our days with it, or taking a quick moment even when things are getting on top of us, and share it with our friends, our communities, our children, and our families, and pass on this message of praise, thanks, and gratitude for the incredible gifts with which we are blessed. Amen.